Hello everyone, welcome back to the Stereotypically Japan podcast. My name is Michael, and I want to discuss some of the different stereotypes and misconceptions about Japan. This week, I want to discuss hospitality. And I also want to apologize for this episode being a week late. I had a lot of things come up recently, so I just didn't have the time to record and edit everything. I do want to keep up a weekly schedule as much and as tightly as possible, but if something does come up again in the future, I'll try to have something prepared just in case. But thank you for your patience. Omotenashi. Omotenashi. Or hospitality, for those of you who don't know, is a very big part of Japanese culture. It is such a holistic approach that you can find it anywhere you look. The main factors that encapsulate hospitality are selfless service, to do something without expecting anything in return, extreme attention to detail, even the littlest things matter, and the anticipation of guests' desires and needs, to be able to ensure the customer or guest's happiness no matter what. Firstly, I want to go over a little about hospitality in recent years. I'm sure you all remember the Tokyo Olympics. How could we forget? It coincided with COVID. So actually, I wouldn't blame you if you really did forget about it. At that time, of course, before the whole epidemic changed the world, omotenashi was all we heard about, and it was all over the news and the center point of the Olympic bids around 2013. It is such a big part of Japanese culture, so focusing on it as one of the most appealing points of the Olympics was a no-brainer. So much so that omotenashi cutlery was even created for the cafeteria at the Olympic Village. There is a city in Niigata Prefecture called Tsubame, which happens to be the sister city of Dundee, Michigan, and Sheboygan, Wisconsin. It produces about 90% of the metal cutlery for the whole country. So the mayor thought it would be a good opportunity to show all of the athletes and foreign visitors what hospitality is and how much Tsubame means to Japan. At the time, most of the cutlery used in the cafeterias for most countries' Olympics village was plastic, mostly because it was easy to deal with and clean. The mayor wanted to help promote something more environmentally friendly, so using reusable metal cutlery would be a pretty effective way to do so. The next step was to design the cutlery to be used, so this was where the aspect of omotenashi comes in. Japanese people have smaller mouths than people from other countries, so of course there are exceptions like Galsone. I don't even want to know how they did the research for that, but it's true. So anticipating the fact that some people might find it a little annoying, imagine eating cereal with a teaspoon or something. They specifically made the heads of the cutlery bigger than in Japan to make it easier for people to use. Honestly, I don't think many people would even care that the fork head or spoon was a little bit smaller in Japan, but it is what it is. They put omotenashi into the design. Also, regarding the decorations, they wanted to make even the underside of the back of the fork look beautiful, the part that's always face down towards the table. There are beautiful cherry blossoms on the bottom, and the top has an image of flying ibises, or toki in Japanese, because they have such a cultural significance. But hey, that's what they say, so who am I to judge? But the attention to detail, also part of omotenashi, is just oozing with it, and it's just cutlery. But that just proves my point, you can find it anywhere. But of course, one could argue that it was for the Olympics, one of the biggest events a country could ever host, so they should be putting that much effort into it. But as I mentioned earlier, almost every other host country used plastic forks and spoons. I'm sure many of you who either live here or have visited have stayed at a traditional Japanese inn or a ryokan. And if you haven't, you should treat yourself. Even if you go just for a quick weekend trip or something, it's worth it, trust me. So, when you arrive, you are greeted and taken care of just like any other hotel, and you check in and are brought to your room. But the real devil is in the details. The experience itself is carefully designed to help you feel Japanese culture and omotenashi. The smell of the tatami and the wood and bamboo, the feeling of walking through the hotel without your shoes on, but with slippers, making you appreciate the cleanliness of everything around you. Every person you walk by will give you a bow to show you respect because you are the guest and customer. And customer is kami-sama, or god in Japan. The room has some snacks. They're all local snacks from whatever city or area you are in, so you can just get a taste of the culture, and the coffee or tea specifically chosen as well to help you make the experience as authentic as possible. In your room, you'll probably notice there is a small area, probably with a scroll on the wall and some flowers. The scroll is there for you. It's either wishing you good health or happiness or safety, something like that. The flowers are specifically chosen to match the feeling and mood they want you to feel, if it's peace, harmony, zen, whatever it may be. The view from your room is very specifically catered to that room too. Everything you see and where it all is, it's all there for a particular reason. And you'll probably even have a TV in your room and wonder why the hell this TV is there. It doesn't seem to match the decor or aesthetic, But again, they are anticipating your needs, and in modern society, people want a TV. So there you go. So now, you've changed into your yukata, and you go for a stroll around the area, soak up the atmosphere and everything, and when you get back to your room, you've noticed that it's rearranged. There's a table on the floor, some seats around it. You sit down, and you realize it's dinner time, and you are in for a treat. I'm not going into the details about what you'll eat because I don't want to make myself hungry, but it will be an amazing assortment of locally sourced ingredients, fresh fish, some real wagyu on a hot rock, and just some of the best kaiseki meal you'll have ever eaten. Now, once you've eaten, you head down to the onsen or hot spring and enjoy the therapeutic healing from some natural minerals, and your skin is starting to feel nice and silky smooth. Maybe head to the bar afterwards, enjoy some sake or nihonshu, or just a nice cold beer. Nothing beats that after a nice long soak. Then you head back to your room, and again, it's been rearranged. And you find a Japanese-style bed, known as futons, laid out on top of the tatami mats. You're all ready to hit the sack, and believe me, nothing feels better after such a nice day. And you will be out cold before you know it, and ready for another day. There's just so much care and attention paid, but not too much to the point where you feel uncomfortable. And that is one of the most impressive points. It's all done from behind the scenes, to be as unobtrusive as possible. But when you feel like you do need something, the staff or people are right there to help you out with anything you might need. One very important aspect that needs to be recognized is that everything is done without the expectation or hope for anything in return. That is vastly different from how things are in the West. So of course, I'm talking about tipping culture. It is not a thing here. So if you think you're doing someone a favor by tipping, just leave that back home because no one wants that here. Recently, I've seen a few posts online about some places, I think it was in Osaka, that actually have a little tip box by the register. Funnily enough, the only language written on it was English, so they are specifically targeting foreign tourists. What I like about Japan is that people were very quick to put them on blast. People telling foreigners to not fall for it and be careful, local people calling them out or just flat out refusing to go to the shop, and as of now, it seems like most of those places have removed those little tip containers. If you visit here and you see something like that, don't do it. It doesn't matter if you think the service was good or whatever, just keep your money. Also, this is an important message for my Japanese listeners. When you go overseas, don't feel pressured into tipping. I heard a story the other day. Someone was telling me about their trip to Italy with their family, and on the first day, they hadn't made a reservation at a restaurant or anything, so they just checked Google and found a place that seemed pretty good. They ordered pizza and pasta, as one does in Italy, but the service was bad and the food was terrible. After the meal, he went to pay, and the staff directly asked him for a tip. He was so shocked and didn't know how to respond. Plus, he was tired and just wanted to leave. So he actually gave a tip, and a pretty generous one at that. I want you all to know that if something like that happens, do not tip. It is a way of getting your message and point across, and if they have a problem with that, talk to the manager and tell them how bad the service was or why you didn't give a tip, and you should never feel pressured to give one. Tipping is not an excuse to not pay the staff well, especially when it comes to customer service industry. Don't let them guilt trip you into doing it. There are places where tipping is a part of culture. Just don't feel pressured into doing it when you feel like it's not deserved. Another thing to be careful about is when you pay by credit. Some places will hide the no tip button under a sticker or something, and they'll give you recommended tipping options of like 40%, 50%, 60%, or even more. Do not use those as well. If you can't find a button to put your own tip amount, or if it's forcing you to tip something that you aren't comfortable with, tell the staff, and don't worry about seeming rude or something like that. They know what they're doing is wrong, and you wouldn't be the only ones who would complain. And in fact, you would be the only ones who didn't complain. Back to what I was saying, if you come to Japan and you try to tip someone, you are causing more trouble than you realize. They will actually run out of a restaurant and try to track you down and give you the money back. It's actually quite a hassle for them, and you aren't doing them any favors or anything like that. If you want to show appreciation, then just tell them how much you appreciated it. They will be happy, trust me. It might be difficult to understand, but many people here take pride in their work and just want to do a good job. That is another reason for good hospitality here. And like I mentioned in a previous episode about food, that is why your Big Mac will actually look like a Big Mac when you're here. Now, all of that isn't to say that hospitality is only good and sunshine and daisies. It can be a little annoying sometimes too. When you go into any shop and the staff yells, "Irashaimase," it can be a little jarring at first. Hell, not even at first. I find it still jarring, even when I hear it, especially when you get a really nasally version. Or when you buy something and the staff walk you to the front of the store, give you your bag and see you off, They stand at the storefront bowing until you're out of sight. If the hallway is long, I've seen people stay bowed for like 3 minutes until the customer is finally out of sight or walks into another shop. Don't even get me started on speed. If you are in any kind of hurry, the omotenashi just takes time, and if you don't have any to spare, it can be really frustrating. If you have 5 minutes and you know exactly what you want and where to buy it, it would still take 10 minutes for them to ring you up, fondle whatever it is that you're buying, and wrap the things up in countless paper, bags, and four kinds of plastic. Which is a good segue into the cost of hospitality. And while it doesn't necessarily have a large monetary cost, it does have an environmental cost. Only in the past 5 years or so, they're charging for plastic bags to try to reduce the amount of plastic waste being produced. But in the grand scheme of things, while they charge you for the plastic bag, they're still going to give you a straw, a fork, a spoon, some chopsticks, napkins, whatever it is. And if you go to a bakery, everything will be individually wrapped with wax paper, then a small plastic bag, then put into a bigger plastic bag. Oh boy, if you get a Danish, they'll put some wax paper on that. Put that in a little plastic container. Then put that container in a little plastic bag. Then put that bag into a bigger plastic bag and give you a wet nap, a knife, a fork, something, whatever it is, which also comes in a plastic wrapper. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that I'm not the most environmentally centric person in the world. I will occasionally neglect or forget to turn off the water when I brush my teeth or something like that. But still, I shouldn't have to tell them not to give me so much plastic or wrapping. But rather, if I want it, I should have to ask for it instead. I don't think that it's too much of a hassle, but again, because of omotenashi, they anticipate most people would want that extra service. But I don't know, I find it's pretty split here. About half the people I talk to agree and think it is excessive. But the other half don't really care since it's just the way things are. People don't really litter here all that much, and people tend to use the excess plastic bags as a garbage bag since garbage bins are not so common. But I think that's more of an excuse than anything else. Also, I walk through Shibuya every day, and there is garbage just literally all over the streets. But when I say people don't litter, I kind of mean in a more general sense. I am interested to know what you all think, so if you let me know via socials or something, do you care or not? While some things are annoying, once you get used to it, it's really hard to go back to a world without omotenashi. When I go to other countries and I go shopping, the staff don't really care sometimes and don't even acknowledge the fact that you came to the store. If you buy something and the staff don't wear white gloves and their dirty little fingers are all over the things that I'm buying. If I go to a bakery somewhere and they just throw all of my bread into a paper bag, I mean, that's okay, but you get what I mean, right? So, the moral of this week's episode is something that I really, truly believe in. If you're going to do something, do it right and be proud of it. Sometimes we have a choice to make, the easy way or the right way. It's tempting to choose the easy way, but if you put time and effort into something, it will pay off in the long run. And if you make the customers happy, if it makes your life better, whatever it may be, just make sure you do what is right. Too many shortcuts will eventually lead you astray. That kind of thinking is what makes omotenashi what it is. It's not simply just hospitality, but it's a way of life. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Stereotypically Japan podcast, and every week I want to bring topics about Japan from Japan. Next week, I want to talk about entertainment, things like movies, music, the industry itself, and how healthy or not it is. I can't express how much I appreciate all of you for sticking around and for all of your support. If you want to help the podcast out, please share it with others. It really helps so much, more than you can imagine. So until next time, the pleasure has been all mine, so please take care of me, and I'll catch you on the flip side. Jane. Thank you.